here live at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Gosh, have I got a great guest for you here today. We've got Jane Jenkins Herlong. That's right. She is a certified speaking professional. She does all kinds of motivational and humor. She's going to be back here on Wednesday to speak at the administrative day out there at Piedmont Tech. She's speaking on Learn the Value in Making Great Mistakes. It's my utmost pleasure to welcome the one and only Jane Jenkins Herlong. How are you doing today, Jane?
Good. Thank you all for having me.
Well, we are real glad that you are here. Now, you were just telling me you are excellent with accents.
Yes.
Yes.
I can do an accent.
You can do an accent?
Oh, I can do like this.
Okay. So, and I bet you have different levels of Southernism.
Yes. 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 Being a singer, I can hear things that maybe other people cannot mimic, but I can go somewhere and I get angry almost because I can pick up the accent so quickly. But then it serves me well in my humor because I grew up in the Low Country and then I also know how to speak Gullah. I was raised with that and have lots of friends from the North, and then I love speaking in the South, and I can pick up some pretty strong accents down in the Deep South.
You ever had a problem talking to somebody and all of a sudden you started talking like them because you could pick up the accent?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Which is the downside of being able to copy accents.
Right, because then somebody thinks sometimes I've
You're
had...
You're backing them.
Yes, exactly. Well, Jane, you have done so many great things. You just had a CD, Down Home Principles, Uptown Humor.
Yes.
Being played on, where is that being played now?
Blue Collar Comedy, Sirius XM 97.
That's impressive.
They've been playing it for 2 weeks. I didn't even know it until somebody sent me a tweet. So I was so excited. I went, oh, my gosh.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I feel blessed.
Yeah.
I feel so happy. It's good, fun, clean comedy.
Yeah.
And they're just excerpts from many years of speaking. And so it's a fun CD. I think a merry heart doeth good like a medicine is a great proverb.
Yeah.
So it's just exciting for me. They're also playing my singing, big band stuff, and I've got some parodies that I do a lot of parodies, and so I'm trying to figure out how to send that to satellite radio, and we'll see.
Well, this is good.
This is good.
Now, when you were growing up, you grew up on St. John's Island.
I did.
And when you were growing up, your dad was a farmer, correct?
He was.
And what did you want to do with your life then?
I actually wanted to be in the medical field somewhere. I thought it would be fun to be a medical secretary. I had no idea I'd be doing what I'm doing now. You know, and then I was a social work major in college and went to graduate school in public administration and married
Thomas.
Have
you ever used it?
Never. I mean, I got in that master's program and thought, I lost my mind. I was actually wanting something really cool to put on my resume for the Miss America pageant. Hopefully I would have made it, and I did, all the way to the pageant.
Right.
I didn't win, but it was still a personal victory for me just to get there. You know
Absolutely.
How that goes. Sure.
Yeah. So what did you take away from being in the Miss America pageant?
That there are a lot of wonderful women across this country, truly are. And when you get on that level, it's such a blessing because you see yourself a lot, and which I'm not trying to edify myself in any way, but I met so many people that had my value system, and that made me excited about where I could go and what I could do, because they're just amazing women. And a lot of people look at the pageant world as being superficial, but it's a great springboard, and I certainly have sprung on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. What do you think, then? What do you think about the Miss Universe pageant and the transgender out of Canada, the gal that is a transgender that's going to be in the pageant there? What do you think about that?
That is very interesting, and I don't know if the pageant has rules against that. Now, some of them do. You have to sign a contract saying you were born a certain gender.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen the picture, and absolutely
it's beautiful.
Beautiful. Just totally beautiful. So that's something the Miss Universe pageant has got to handle. And
Well, she is going to be in the Canadian one.
Right.
I just wonder, though, you know, I've talked about this on my Isle of Ann show, that gosh, if you were a judge, and you've been a judge.
I have.
I wonder how it would affect you to know that you're judging somebody who is a transgender.
That would be a very interesting thing to do. I don't know how I would, because you would wonder what kind of questions would you ask that person, like, is your name Pat? Can you go both ways on the answer? You know, oh, Pat is kind of a guy-girl name.
Right.
I mean, I can think of a million funny things I probably couldn't say on the radio. But
well, we'll record it afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I have a million funny questions I'd want to ask. But it would, you know, it's just, it's interesting. And
well, you know, what will it do to the pageants? What will it do to pageants if they open the door to this? I understand Canada has said it's okay, but then if she, let's say she wins Canada and she goes on to the next level of the Miss Universe pageant.
Well, I mean, there are pageants out there for transgender folks. I mean, there's a spot.
Oh, okay.
But this is a big, a bold move to move into this venue.
Yeah.
So I think it would open the door for lots of other folks who feel like they were trapped in another body.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see, and I certainly, you know, I don't want to be judgmental, I don't think, but I just think it would be nice if there was a sacredness to the all-female, and I mean, I know there is a transgender pageant, so, but again, that's somebody's preference, and that's something that the Miss Universe pageant is going to have to call on that. It would be a tough call.
You know, one of the things that is very interesting is that she looks a lot like Donald Trump's daughter.
I saw that, too.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful family.
That had to make it difficult for Donald to make that decision.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
He's the man.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
So he'll have to make that call.
Yeah.
With
well,
him a lot
did.
Of wisdom,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just thought we'd press on that. And then what about all these? I've had several people, when I told them you were going to be on, they wanted to know, what do you think of all these pageants for the young girls and little girls, actually. What do you think it's going to do society-wise? What do you think?
Well, this reality TV has just kicked the door down for so many different venues. I mean, you have Pawn Stars, a play on the road porn, you know, they're Las Vegas.
Right.
You've got Swamp People. And, you know, people are fascinated with all of this down-home stuff, this reality TV. And that's just a whole other venue. Part of me feels very sorry for the children, because what it does, it creates a false sense of your future. Like, nothing can ever make me happy. I had to have a dollhouse when I was 3. Now I have to have a mansion when I'm 12. And so it creates an attitude of, you know, always wanting and striving for superficial things. The bigger crayon, I want this car. And you see it in the kids. Of course, parents are living their dreams through these kids. But, I mean, I used to be a part of it just because I had to. They would book me for different venues. And back then, I thought it was unfortunate because I could see the children kind of, it's just an unrealistic way to raise a child.
Yeah.
You know, not life is not a pageant. But now, it's not such a joke to these kids. They've got kids that are superstars and have huge modeling contracts. So a lot of parents are putting their children in this, thinking that they'll be picked up for the cover of a magazine or one of the modeling agencies. So it's not the ha-ha joke it used to be. It's a business.
Absolutely. I'm here with Jane Herlong, and we are talking right now about a little bit about beauty pageants and whatnot. You know, one of the things that I worry about and is our kids growing up, and this is really when they're in a pageant like this, it does create a superficial world. You know, they're not, are these kids? Do you know? I mean, some of these kids, are they really still kids?
They probably are going to be kids, because kids will be kids. They probably have a venue for that. But, you know, I think when I've seen the little kiddie pageants,
mm-hmm.
by the time they can really work their way up to what I would consider the substantial, like the Miss America, the Miss Universe, or whatever, they're tired. They're just sick of it. They don't want a thing to do with it anymore. But then again, they might not need to, because they're getting big old contracts. Some of these kids are these little toddlers. I mean, they're being recognized for their beauty and their talent, and so. But I do think it can be handled in a way that could backlash and really hurt that child.
Sure.
It had to be handled extremely well. I mean, I was 23 years old, came home from Miss America, didn't win, and I wasn't a happy camper.
I really?
Mean, gee, how am I going to expect a 6-year-old to handle it? So it's a big hurdle to get over when you put all your heart and soul into something like this.
Sure. But in all the makeup and all the things they put on these little kids, I mean,
oh, I know. I wouldn't want to mess with that. I mean, my daughter would bring home applications, and I'd just rip them up. Of course, she was in the Miss Clemson University pageant the other night. We were really proud of her. She did a great job. So I think it's a healthy way for self-improvement. But for little kids, it might translate to be something that's unhealthy.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Jane Herlong. Hey, if you've got a question for Jane, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to be talking about her life and how she turned it, tomatoes?
Yeah, don't throw tomatoes at my field of dreams.
That's right.
Yeah.
She turned it all around, and she's here to talk about it. Don't you go away. We'll be right back.
You can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right. It can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Monday, happy days. Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. And, you know, not only does Jane do public speaking, and does she do, a little bit of, she has a blog that she does. She writes books. She sings. When do you rest, Jane?
When I just give out.
When you give out?
Yeah. That's about when I just fall into bed at night.
So what is the books you've written here lately?
Well, The Bare Feet to High Heels is in its fourth printing, reprint, and that's been fun. It's just a little like an autobiography type thing. And then Bear Me With My Pearls started out very funny, and my mother told me my grandmother wanted to be buried with her pearls, and I thought, what a great title, has another meaning. Mm-hmm. And then my mother aged and got very, very sick with her heart, and she passed away. And I just had to put it on hold because nothing was funny. I was just, you know, missed my mother a lot because we were very close. So after Mama passed away in 2009, I just picked up the book again and sent it to a publisher. I got an agent, and he pitched it to several publishing houses and actually got a contract. So I'm about halfway through. It's called Bury Me With My Pearls, Humor with a Spiritual Twist. And then the second book that is ready to be printed is called What Tatas Teach Us. And it's funny, but it's got some great life lessons, and it's illustrated by my friends.
What do tatas teach us, Jane? I need to know this.
Well, the first thing they teach us is when we start to develop, they hurt. And my comment or the bullet is change can be painful.
Yes.
Ta-da.
Right.
And then life is
ta-ta.
Not... Ta-ta. Yes. And then the second one is sitting in a math class in summer school behind Betsy Sturr, Sturr's funeral home fame, and seeing her massive amount of hooks on her bra and thinking about my little white T-shirt with the red bow, thinking, life isn't fair. My goodness.
Yes.
So that's another principle. It teaches us to be proportionate. We should all be in proportion. They teach us when we are turning a little older to self-check, to take care of our health. They teach us about mammograms. And the thing they teach us is to get rid of what hurts us.
Okay.
Get the cancerous things out of your life. I have friends that wear T-shirts, and one of them says, of course, I got rid of them after she had breast cancer and a double mastectomy. Of course, I got rid of them. They were trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So it teaches a lot. And then I love one of the 19th points in the book. Because it says, be careful the battle you pick. And I have it's illustrated by my friend Beth Clark. She's a great artist. Has an 8-year-old girl who's flat-chested and an 80-year-old woman who's flat-chested. So it's all going to go away. But in between the 8 and the 80, you better pick your battles carefully.
We do have to pick our battles.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
It's a great little book. It's going to be a great book for gift shops. And that's going to be the venue it's going to be very popular in hospitals and places like that. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. Now, you also work with some, you help some foundations and whatnot. What else are you doing?
Well, I'm a commissioner for Piedmont Technical College, great school. I'm with the Edgefield campus. And I am in charge of the National Speakers Association, their scholarship program. So we help young people in their educational pursuits. And I'm on the Foundation Board of National Speakers. So that keeps me pretty busy. We're going to have lots and lots of applications to choose from this year to pick those five people. We give about $20,000 away. So I like being involved in philanthropy as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now let's talk about these blogs here. You've got some interesting stuff on these blogs. Mama's Fur Coat.
Yeah, that was funny. More people need to follow me though on my blog spot. I need to work that a little bit better.
How do they find you?
Well, if you just go to Jane Herlong, JaneHerlong/blogspot.com, it'll take you there. My website is JaneHerlong.com, and you can click on the blog. And it'll go there. But, you know, the social media is so much fun, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And I sent out a newsletter called Eye Contact. I'm working on it now because it's going to have all that blue comedy stuff on it. So it's fun. I mean, you know, being in this venue of media, oh, my gosh, the sky's the limit.
So tell us about Mama's Fur Coat.
My mother.
Come on now. Give us a little hint here, a little snippet.
My mother always wanted a reversible fur and leather vest. That was her dream. Mm-hmm. Now, they were way out of style. But a family member of mine found one at Goodwill and gave it to her. She called me. She said, I have the coat of my dreams. I said, Mom, are you kidding? She said, no, it's the fur and leather reversible vest. As long as it zips up, I love it. And I said, Mom, that's great. I said, what kind of fur is it? She said, well, let me look. She said, well, it looks a little mangy. And that was the first clue. And I said, well, what kind is it? Then I heard her say something I can't repeat on the radio, and she said, oh, my gosh, it's possum. Then I heard her say, but wait, it's good possum.
It's good possum.
New Zealand, yeah. So my mother thinks that possum in New Zealand are superior in their IQs. They don't live in trash cans. They're not buzzard bait on the road. They don't play dead. But Mama never wore the coat on the possum side.
Right.
She never did. And I said, Mama, you shame your possum. I am not. I am proud of my possum. So I was on a speaking engagement. She went with me to Myrtle Beach, and we stopped at this place. It's closed now in Merle's Inlet. So I dropped her off on the other side of the road, and I walked over the highway, and the woman said, you have a table for two? She said, yes, we can seat you right now. So here's my mother standing to prove her point with the fur on the outside, the possum.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mama, they can seat us. So as soon as she stepped in that road, I went, run! And she said, shut your mouth. And
she was styling with her possum.
That's right. I wanted to get run over, you know. She's walking across the road as a possum all of a sudden. So I do funny stuff like that. I tell that story. And, you know, humor's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
You just have to be de-stressed enough to see it and to laugh. We miss so much by being anxious.
I think being preoccupied on ourselves.
Right.
We don't look outside ourselves. We look at, you know, we're so into me that I can't look around and see the funny things and what's happening around you.
Right. Very true. I mean, even in a bathroom, I tell the story about...
in a bathroom,
yeah,
okay, Jane.
In the airport. Yes. I heard this woman's cell phone, and she had the theme from Jaws, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Of course, I looked in the water where I was thinking, please.
The shark is coming.
Yeah. And so this woman goes, hello. And she's on a job interview.
In the stall.
Yes. It was awful. Now, I could have gotten angry. But I thought, this is fun. I've got about 45 minutes. I just listened.
You stayed right there while she had her job interview.
And then I heard her say, oh, I'm so good with paperwork. Well, I got a big old roll of toilet paper, started pulling, got a wad of toilet paper, and shoved it underneath her stall, which she did not think was funny.
She did not laugh about
that. No. And she said, very funny, I'm on a job interview. And I said, well, honey, no job is finished till the paperwork is done.
So wipe your butt.
Yeah. Paperwork is done. And I had a good time laughing about that. The humor is everywhere. We just got to find it.
Did you guys come out of the stall at the same time, or did you leave first?
I left first. She wasn't going to come out until she finished that job interview. So it's just like that. See, we can turn it around.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like doing the hokey pokey in your brain.
Exactly.
Turn it around.
Yep. Make
that's
it
what
fun.
That's what it's all about.
You're absolutely right. Well, we are here with Jane Herlong. Yes, she is from Edgefield, lives in Edgefield, actually from down on the coast. She is a terrific speaker. She will be back here on Wednesday, 4-4-4 administrative day, right out there at Piedmont Tech. We're going to talk more with her, but right now it's time for South Carolina News and a word from our sponsors. Got a question? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Right, we're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, we're here with Jane Jenkins Herlong. I like the way you write your name here, Jane. It looks like, is that John Hancock?
It's called Declaration. My good friend Linda Ely's a graphics artist, and she bought that font, she said, for me.
Well, it's
very impressive.
So, you know, we had a call come in, and this is Shannon Marks, and she says she loves pageants. Her 9-year-old loves it, but her mother-in-law is almost berserk over her doing them. It supposedly demeans women. People seem to either really love the pageants, they're either for pageants or they're really against them. There doesn't seem to be a middle ground. What do you have to say, Jane?
Well, that question's loaded because there's a lot of truth to that. It's a shame. I think with young children, you should handle it with very, very cautiously with kid gloves. Because it can give them a false sense of reality, and you should not be able to have everything when you're 6 years old, because you'll never be happy. I mean, one of the saddest moments to me as a child in a department store that I saw one time, you know, in the toy department, on the floor screaming, "There's nothing else that I want." Now, that's bad when you've got a young child like that.
Exactly.
I never let my daughter participate until she was old enough to understand how to lose and how to win.
Sure.
She was junior miss in the high school, in the pageants and all that. But for the little kids, if you're going to enter into that, it should be handled very, very carefully. But it does not demean women. It could take advantage of little children, for sure. I really feel that. But I've seen it just completely change. It changed my life. Yeah. I mean, I was a farm girl. I mean, I had a low IQ.
You had a low IQ?
It blossomed. God is good. Miracles.
But
it was, yes. If I could have eaten that and grown, I would have done that. But it helped me become better, but I also had maturity, and I could handle it, and I knew how to use it and not abuse it. So, I mean, our Miss South Carolina today has lost 120 pounds. Now, that's fabulous for her.
Absolutely.
You know, she's done great. So there. We can't discount what self-improvement does in a venue like Miss America that does tap into your talent. Of course, you have to be at least 18, 17 to be in it.
Right.
Your talent, your interview skills, your ability to be physically fit, and your ability to have a very good interview and your ability to walk across the stage in a gown and poise. That's invaluable.
Sure.
I mean, that's what it's all about. When I would go to speaker meetings and they'd say, "Oh, let me show you how to work a stage," I said, "Honey, I know how to work a stage now." Now, I got that from pageants. And let me tell you how you need to perform your speech. Well, I already had that from So I had a heads up because of pageantry.
Sure.
So help me.
Well, and the scholarships and the things that come out of these.
Oh, yeah. I went to
grad
school online. Yeah.
That's terrific.
Sure. It can help you a lot.
Sure. Sure. So pageants are not bad. It's just whether you get so into it, you don't realize there's anything outside of pageants.
Right. You can get very consumed. And again, with children, it's particularly a vulnerable thing to do because their little minds aren't developed enough to get it. And, you know, they just, you know, a lot of kids will say, "I didn't win. I'm no good." Well, that's not the case.
Sure.
So I would proceed with extreme caution with kids.
You know, one of the things that I think that we have lost a little bit, and actually the pageants would make that a statement, is the fact that we have lost our ability to say that it's okay to be exceptional.
Exactly.
You know,
the
school that is in the news about if somebody gets accepted to a great school, there's to be no congratulation, no rah, rah, rah. They just keep it to yourself.
Right.
Where have we gone in this world that we don't look at the exceptionalism of life and celebrate the moments that we have? Because you know what? There's a lot we don't have.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people need, you know, Joseph in the Bible wore his coat. He didn't stuff it in the back of a closet in one of the
Wonderful Technicolor coat.
Sure. He wore that coat. He was proud of that coat. And a lot of us, we should not snuff our talents and ability just because we think somebody else might be offended. They're not your friend.
Well,
seriously.
And the other thing, we all have different talents.
We do.
And I think sometimes the problem is maybe finding the talent that we have. But everybody has a talent.
Well, talent begets talent. When I started singing in churches, I had no idea I'd be speaking. I had no idea that I'd be recording music, writing, now comedy. I had no idea, but I tried it. And one thing kind of led to another to another to another. I didn't plan this. It's like God blessed me with avenues.
You got up one day and you said, I'm going to be a comedy person. I'm going to sing, and I'm going to be on Sirius Radio.
There you go. But when people come up to you and say, that was funny, you think, oh, okay.
Let me write that down.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Do you have that recorded? Oh, I love that song. Do you have that? Then people tell you, but until you get out and do it,
right?
Do you know? Well, I'm keeping that one. Oh, nope, that didn't work.
Ever been on stage and had something that you thought was hilariously funny and the audience just sat there and just looked at you and went,
oh, yes, that happened 3 days ago.
Yeah?
Sure. Wrong joke for the wrong crowd.
How'd you deal with that rejection?
I just went right back into my old corny comedy, and they laughed their gizzards out. Right then I segued it real fast. I just, said, well, that didn't work, but I didn't say it to them, because you don't say that to them. They're older people. So you just go straight into the other bit, and you just go, okay, I know this crowd. I know what they like. Or, for me, I can just pull out a song.
Right.
Or sing a cappella.
There you go. All right. Well, let's see. We had a call here, Jane, from Betty Roundtree. She has a family of round girls.
Round girls, yes.
Are there any pageants for heavier girls? If not, there should be.
Yes, there are. And I'm so grateful to see models that are plus-size models.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful girls.
Yes.
Is it Betty?
Yes.
I would ask Betty to get online and Google pageants for larger girls and see what comes up. In a pageant shop, my good friend is called Edge in North Augusta, David Tolles. I was so thrilled to see him carry beautiful plus-size pageant and prom dresses for young girls that just genetically have got the gene to be larger in their frame.
Sure.
Or just larger. And, there's beauty in every, and now morbidly is scary because
right.
You don't want to go there because that can create so many health problems. But I have seen girls in pageants. A friend of mine, I judge Miss North Carolina, she lost about 20 pounds to be in Miss North Carolina. Gorgeous girl, was third runner-up. And her whole family was large, but she shaped up. But there would be a pageant for her in a plus size. So I encourage Betty to Google that and see what comes up, because I know there are pageants out there.
Okay, all right.
That's great.
So, yes, and like I said, there's just so many possibilities, the good things that you brought up, the pageants do for you, that poise, that ability to perform and talk in front of other people. It's an invaluable experience.
Well, I've had girls come to me for pageant coaching, which I really don't do, but sometimes I will, and they have asked, we've been through the interview process, and then years later they've come back to me, and as a college graduate, they sat down with the pharmaceutical company. Halfway through, the guy says, all right, you got the job. Where did you learn how to talk like that?
Sure.
And they just say, Jane, it was interview.
Sure.
Interview. I got that job because I went through a pageant interview and I knew how to work it. And I've seen my daughter's interview skills dramatically change because she's more confident, more secure. I mean, when she went to the Miss Clemson University interview, she felt great about it and she knew everything. And she's matured, of course.
Sure.
But she's going to be able to handle job interviews easily. And that was a good springboard.
I think one of the most important things, whether you're interviewing or communicating with somebody, is the ability to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the hardest things for people to do, because most people are actually thinking about what can I say next rather
right.
than what did you just say.
Or what are you looking for?
Right.
And I like to ask that question to people that want to hire me for different speeches. I'll say, exactly what are you looking for? And I know if I can meet the need or maybe recommend another person that I know could do a better job
sure.
than I could.
Absolutely. So we are here with Jane Herlong. We're picking up a few tips sitting right here with us. We're looking at her CD, Up Down Home Principles, Uptown Humor, Jane's Comedy, and Singing. Yes, it's true. And you just did a CD on Big Band Favorites.
I did. It's a little bit, I think I did that maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, but that's why I love that kind of music, because it is timeless.
Absolutely.
And I dedicated that to my mother, and then I did a Christmas CD. It's called The Spirit of Christmas, and dedicated that to my daddy. But I have several speeches on CD. It's available through my website on PayPal, which is nice.
What's your website now?
JaneHerlong.com. And I'm on TuneCore, iTunes, Amazon. We take advantage of all those wonderful things, you know. So you can download.
If there's a dollar to be made, Jane's there.
I am there, honey. Drag a dollar bill in front of me. I'll find it.
All right. Well, we are here with Jane. We're going to be back in just a moment. Questions, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
My cycle hums, ready to race to you.
Right, we're back here with Jane Herlong. She's coming back to town on Wednesday, Professional Administrative Day. She's going to be talking about learn the value in making great mistakes. That's right, great mistakes. And, you know, one of the things that, have you ever made a great mistake?
Oh, yeah. If you're going to make one, make a good one.
Just don't make a little mistake you can cover up then. Is that what you're saying? Make one that everybody knows about.
Learn. Adversity can be your best friend. If you learn from it, that's how you learn. But don't be afraid to make a mistake. So many people don't even want to step out and try something because they're so afraid they're going to mess up. Well, you know, you think about what's probable,
mm-hmm.
which will be the probable thing that will happen, what's the extreme thing that could happen, good or bad, and you're going to fit somewhere in between. So why as well just go for it.
What do you think? You know, the economy and everybody is trying to be politically correct.
Bless
you
their
hear
heart.
Yes, that's right, and you hear so much of it on TV, and so much of it, people day to day. You know, oh, can you say that? Can you write that? Can you talk about that? I get people calling on my show, and you're almost over the edge. You're looking over the edge.
Yes, very true.
How do you feel about what people do or don't do?
Well, I don't like people being able to post ugly, horrible things and bully. I don't like that, especially in our schools. That's a huge, huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to have the courage to say it, sign your name.
Right.
I mean, we get letters at Piedmont for people that are disgruntled, not often, but every now and again. If you don't sign your name, it's the first thing I look at. If there's no name, I throw it in the trash. I'm not going to read it.
Sure.
Because it doesn't make any, you know, it's no difference to me. What was the story about Dwight Moody? He received a letter from a very learned man of God who passed up the letter, and he just wrote down, "Fool!" And Dwight Moody said, "I've received many a letter with no signature. Now I have a signature with no letter." So, you know, the guy says, "Fool." So
right.
The guy was a fool that wrote the word fool.
Absolutely.
It was very smart how he handled that. But I don't like when someone is mean. There's no place for meanness. There is no place for it. But I think people need to have definition. You know, you see people like Chris Christie. Man, he comes out and says, "This is the way it is, people."
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people go, "What a cool thing that is."
Yes.
He's got an opinion, and he's going to say it. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, not just some, but all. So I think definition and boundaries are good. Now, again, I don't like evil stuff. I don't like meanness. I don't like people that are bullies. But I do like somebody, if I don't agree with them, I respect your opinion.
Sure.
No opinion is really wrong unless it really crosses over into some illegal or unethical thing.
Sure.
I'm happy to know where somebody stands on this.
I
want to know
yeah.
where you stand. And I'm cool with it.
And I think so many times people just sit there and they try to figure out, where should I say I stand, regardless of where I really stand. They don't want to divulge their inner self, shall we say.
That's true, and I think that's the beginning of real success is when you find out who you are and you take that knowledge and you expand who you are into other areas. But you'll never go into the direction of your personal who you are to achieve the next level if you just sit around wondering, should I do that? Should I not? I'm scared. I'm like, that's pathetic. That would be the definition. That would be a horrible place to live.
Absolutely, but I think a lot of people live there.
Oh, they definitely do. There's fear. You know, what is fear? What does Zig Ziglar say fear is? F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real.
Well, I've never heard that one. I like that, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, friends of mine sent me clips of a woman that was so afraid to go to Las Vegas because she won a trip because people would steal her pocketbook. They planted that thing in her head. She gets in, true story now, gets in an elevator. It's a casino hotel type place.
Sure.
And the elevator door opens, the biggest men she's ever seen, and she stepped in and she was just shaking, thinking, they're going to grab my pocketbook. They're going to grab my pocketbook. And one of the men said, lady, hit the floor. And she did. She got on her face going, don't take my pocketbook. And they started laughing and carrying on. And it was, one of them finally said, we meant for you to mash the button, Mark, floor. And she just crawls out. And later when she checked out, there was a little sticky note, and it said, thanks for the laugh, Lionel Richie.
Oh, my God.
He was in the elevator with his bodyguards.
Oh, my God.
She missed a golden opportunity to meet him. And she was embarrassed because she crawled out because she just got on the floor, don't take my pocketbook, you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
But that's what fear does. It really paralyzes a person from their talents and gifts.
You are absolutely right. Now, you know, the economy has, of course, hit a lot of people hard.
It has.
And you know, sometimes it's very hard to laugh at things, and I think that's why it's great that you're out there doing what you're doing, giving people a laugh. And we are finding that comedy, you know, even though they say that these reality shows are where it's at, comedy seems to be the thing that pulls people together.
Yes, I was just Googling Blue Comedy and Laugh USA, and so many people, if you just get that channel or get anything, go to Walmart and buy a CD, anything, buy mine. I'd love to share mine. But just to pop in something lighthearted and happy, and it'll do a world of good for your mind, because we're supposed to pack the good things in our minds, not the negative. If you want negative results, pack in negative thinking. If you want positive results, listen to something uplifting and positive. I've learned I don't like to watch the news before I go to bed at night. I dream that I'm robbed and kicked and murdered, and, you know, I want to have a happy,
restful
sleep.
So what do you watch before you go to sleep?
Oh, well, I read my Bible.
Okay.
I read the good stuff. I don't read the bad stuff.
I don't know whether you are maybe
Proverbs.
Watching the Golden Girls or
yeah,
something
that,
like
that's
that.
Not more Andy and Mayberry, one
right.
of those wonderful shows of yesteryear.
Exactly.
I want to laugh before I go to bed.
Exactly.
I don't want to watch
Frasier.
The news.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything funny like that. You're going to sleep on that.
Yeah.
Don't do that to your mind, because you'll wake up going, I didn't sleep well.
Yeah. Or, you know, all these reality shows.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know what amazes me, though, Jane, is how popular Southern stuff is. How many redneck shows can we have on TV?
Oh, my gosh, have you ever?
I mean, you know, I can't figure out whether people are really enjoying them or they're thinking those fools down there, and the rednecks are saying those fools up north.
Oh, yeah.
Shows.
Well, you know, we are known for our nuances of uniqueness in the South. We have, my granddaddy spoke fluent Gullah. He said, thank God they built that bridge from John's Island over to James Island, because he said our family tree was looking like a wreath. And everybody was marrying cousins. You know, something to be said for that. And, you know, I think that since it's remarkable when you hear the stories from the South, I mean, there's so many funny stories.
Absolutely.
Tucked away in our little town that I tell, you know, my husband's a New York Life in business with New York Life, and he does financial planning, and he shares his office with Betty Bland Funeral Home. So I always call the business New York Life or Death, you know, when you walk in. And so that's one of my little comedy bits I do, talking about small towns and Uncle Ronald Horn getting pulled for speeding, and the guy that stopped me said, Mr. Ronald, I've known you all my life. And he said, I'm going to have to do something for you not to do this one more time. He said, I'm just going to charge you $20. And Ronald Horn hands him $40 and says, I'll be coming back through in about an hour.
There you
you
go.
Know, that's just small town stuff. But it's just rich.
Absolutely.
Just look around all the characters. So I don't know what it is that people gravitate to Southern humor like they do, but I can tell you they love it. They absolutely love it.
Yep.
It's not just the Southerners either.
No, absolutely not.
They just absolutely. I mean, I don't go up north and they'll say, "Oh, can you do some more of that northern humor?" No. Now we've got our own little rules for southern humor, and lots of great storytellers in the South.
Absolutely. When I first came down here, I'm from Maine originally. I went to school, University of North Carolina at Greensboro, I had a friend that would introduce me. This is my friend Anne. She's from Maine, and swear to God, people would look up at my eyes, look down at my feet, look back up, and she'd say, "Say something, Anne."
Right, and they do that up north, too.
Yes, and so it was a, how can I get away from this person and throw in a few y'alls, and I thrived. But I'm telling you what, it was tough when I first came down
here. I imagine so,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But there's a culture down here that's very rich and very unique. And, you know, just the whole Jeff Foxworthy and Bill Envall, here's your sign. You know, that all that stuff is just funny stuff, and people embrace it. And it's just, it's kind of been just taken off like wildfire.
Yeah, and, you know, when you really think about it, the North doesn't have the same type of stuff we have down
I guess
here.
It's just not funny up there.
No, they're too serious.
Yeah. Lighten up.
Lighten up. There
yeah.
you go. And they're always fascinated by the by what is going on down here. How many times have you had Yankees come down here and they decide they love to live here and they find all the quaint things, shall we say, that we have here that makes us different?
We've got several New Yorkers that have moved from the city, and they're just delightful. I mean, we just love them. They've added a richness to our little town in Johnson and Edgefield.
Yeah.
So we appreciate it. You know, they've embraced our culture. And what Southern people don't like is say, no, y'all need to do this our way. No.
Yeah.
You come in Rome, honey. You do as the Romans do.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been great to have you here.
Hi,
it has been so much fun to see you again. It's been 2 or 3 years since you've been here.
Yeah.
That's right. And, of course, you on Wednesday will be out there at Piedmont Tech with your Learn the Value of Making Great Mistakes. I think it is so neat you're going to be doing that, and I look forward to talking to you again. And tell us your website where they can get some of this great material.
www.janeherlong.com.
That's right, and she's got several books. She's got CDs. If it can make a dollar, she does it.
Yep, and speaking all over the place. I'm loving that, too.
Absolutely. If you're looking for a great speaker, contact Jane Herlong. Well, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood, and we'll be back in just a minute with Happy Hour. That's right. The fun continues right here on WCRS. Right now, news is up. I'll be back.